I realize I should probably make that more specific than just 2022, and it's May. And yeah, so I'm reading, it's mostly going to be poems. I'm going to be reading, can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
it's mostly going to be poems. I'm going to be reading from Noble Roth, but I've got a few others from previous collections as well in here. And so hopefully I'll get through them all. I was kind of ambitious as well in how many I printed out, but I'll do my best. So the first one is from Noble Roth, and it's called Fresh Aired and Sky Blue. Cars ticking forward in a row of commuters, like links in the chain of a bicycle. And the day is quite clear, fresh aired and sky blue. I'm walking on the quayside past Croppie Acre Park, drinking a cup of coffee, thinking about lunch. My girlfriend's out too, though she's elsewhere. She's walking the river with Annie, her friend. When I see her, she'll tell me how they came on a swan, or the end of one anyway. A fox-eaten body lying by the Liffeyside footpath. White wings flat out, a pieta and a ribcage collapsed in the manner of girders and buildings. Flowers bob in the breeze and in time as cars pass. Leaves blow along on the pavement like stones being skipped over stretches of water. Though the crumpled ones scuttle and come trumble more slowly. They move more like crabs on a beach. And the next one I've got is a poem called Morning to Pods of Dolphins, also from Noble Roth. I'm probably just going forward, just going to say if they aren't from Noble Roth, because most of them are, or almost all of them. This one's about myself and my partner, Christy, going down to Dingle to visit a friend. Morning to Pods of Dolphins. And we rolled to town roughly an hour ago, and to aid on the sofa, dressed up for no company in a t-shirt and his pants, alternating coffee with sips from a pint glass of water. He knew we were coming, but didn't know when we'd arrive. He didn't prepare anything, and now we're in town and we're shopping, buying wine to go with dinner, and beer then for afterwards, toothpaste and breakfast things. Chris cooks steak at his place and looks around while we're out. It's Dingle, a small town 5 hours from Dublin. Lately, he's been living down here. I ask him, does he think he'll stay? He doesn't know. He's finished, finally, with college and waiting while they read his PhD. He's not working, but he says it's cheap to live here. Looking at the bottles, I'm not sure I agree, but perhaps he won't be drinking. In a place like this, you don't have to drink if you don't want to. His house faces the sea. He wakes up every morning to pods of dolphins stitching the blue like thread in denim jeans. And now we're on the street walking home. Tourists flock, eat chowder and take photographs, hold up traffic. We maneuver through them. I have the beer in a box, he two bottles and some snacks and sausages. When we were teenagers, we tore this town to pieces. Flags left up all night, ripping in high winds. In the morning, most of the beer will be left, and one of the bottles. And now we're at the house, and Christie's steaks are ready. They're delicious, with red wine and pepper sauce. We eat outside, add just a little salt. And next poem I'm going to read is it's one called Doggy. It comes from a conversation I had with a friend of mine who's a teacher and who realized that the language that she thought was like the natural language to use with kids was completely out of place. Doggy. And whatever happened to the penny sweet counter? And children don't say doggy anymore. Have you noticed? It's doggo, the influence perhaps of the internet. To say words like doggy or talk about penny sweets suddenly sounds quaint. Like, what in tarnation or goodness instead of fuck? And birds you never saw before are common migratory birds. I guess this is my first shot at becoming old, really. Watching the words I grew up with. Evolution. Like the garden after your grandfather, spouting new flowers. All bramble and thistle down thorns. And this next one I'm going to read is a poem called Day Trip to Bray, which when we were putting the collection together, this newest one, myself and my editor Liz, who's joining us on Zoom today, had to make some edits because of the worry that I'd end up getting hate mail from people in Bray, which is a step up, because for the last collection she actually made me cut a poem, or suggested that I cut a poem, because of fear that I'd face legal action, which I think means that I'm becoming less adventurous as a poet. But it's probably more popular, maybe, hopefully. Day Trip to Bray. Bray stays steady, like a worse version of Southend, but with better memories in it and quicker to get at by train. And every time you go there, the aquarium looks to have gotten smaller, plums in a wooden box with hot weather drying them. We get off the train and see, first thing, this smudge-fingered painting, a mural done by school kids. Welcome to Bray, it says, and buses kick dust off the pavement like mongrel dogs running on sand. Everyone is out in Bray. It's summer, and the sunburn runs red from person to person, like a maniac has been dancing with paint. You feel uncomfortable just looking at people, as if heat were a contagious disease. It's close to being on holiday, but it's not quite that. Clothes so thin, you might as well be naked, and we get a drink at a bad bar on the seafront, and eat some bad fried calamari. Then go down to walk the beach and lie flat under the sunshine. But it turns out that it's all just stuff and stones. On the whole, it's a good day, calamari and everything. And I leave it still loving you. Lying on the beach, usually you'd stand up with sand in your pockets. But when we leave Bray, all we carry are stones. The pretty ones, which we've both decided on. And the next poem I've got here is one called Straightforward Machinery. It's about a road trip I took, myself and my mom took, up toward Leitrim. She's over there. And down to heckle me. My mother was driving. She'd brought me along as insurance because she'd never yet driven a van. Though it turned out, of course, that she loved it. The height and the weight and their ratio pleased her, and the roads as they pressed on her tires. Headlights like chisels, chipping seashells off cliffs, a radio playing old songs. She's 60 now, knuckle hard, and hasn't lost interest in driving. Loves the straightness of roads cut through hillside and the elegance of straightforward machinery. 15 years ago, she taught me to drive in that countryside. And I sat beside her, watching rain as it melted horizons, grey as the rocks on a coast. Her knuckles, the gear stick and headlights, her smile as she pushed up into fifth. And the next one I have to read is a poem called Air, Thinking of Boglands. It's a poem about sort of a previous life when I was kind of bumming around for a while and living in the worst bed sits I could find. And it's like this. The landlord was fixing the next door flat's pipes using some chemical he'd gotten from a friend who worked apparently for a pipe making company in a factory on an industrial scale. My sink had been blocked up as well since the weekend, but I hadn't called him about fixing my sink. From my sink, fumes rose through the bedsit apartment with the smell of public toilets and long-forgotten apple cores. They curled in the kitchenette and opened the cabinets, their long, furnished fingers beckoning over tile and the waterproof splashback plastic wall covers. I lay in my bed, reading secondhand paperbacks, inhaling curled turns of the poisonous air, thinking of boglands and the fast growth on mountaintops, clearing my sinuses out. And And I've got one now called Cauliflower. It's fairly self-explanatory, I think, although I realized or was told after I wrote it that it might be more political than I had realized when I was writing it. I kind of sometimes brag about not being a political poet, and I was discussing that with Liz, who said, asked me why I thought that when I'd written this and written some of the other ones that are going into the collection. So this one is called Cauliflower. The leaves are thick and heavy, calloused hard as the knuckled hands on farm workers, packed together roughly on some farmland out near Sligo, rows in wooden boxes, and each a round white flower, a gem on velvet, faced up and just visible as white-green light, bawling in a series of clenching fists. They're pushed into their boxes, onto shelves and the dusty backs of lorries on dusty days, and sent out to supermarkets and to farmers' markets and roadside stalls, where we buy them, testing with our fingers for firmness and tense fragility, these dead, unopened envelopes, unseeded, dryly chopped. And we take them home and chop them further, driving good steel knives through vegetation, tough as knotted muscle and the thighs of short-haired dogs. We broil broth soup with fattish bacon and handfuls of salt, and feel life and salt in our muscles. Fields drying, dusty days, suns corrugating over rows arranged by the careful hands of farm workers, a series of knuckled fingers, each of them curling up. And I'm getting towards the end of the list now, and this one is a poem called People in Desperate Situations. It appeared in Sad Havoc Among the Birds, I only have two from that collection here. This one is one of my favorites. It's kind of a fantasy story. People in Desperate Situations. Golden hope and roses, cold in the morning coming in. Italy, Rome, 1985. I could be here. Pigeons burst past my balcony, scared by a girl on a Vespa, and someone in shirt sleeves is smoking a cigarette. My view is over an alley, but high enough to catch the sun. I'm not working, but my girlfriend is in her office, putting a play together. That is perhaps why we are here. Something going on in a famous Roman theatre, an opera or some quiet wine-southern thing about people on holiday in desperate situations. Today I will tap my feet on rounded bricks and I will sink my hands in my pockets like well diving. Hummingbird thoughts buzz my brain. They are nothing important, but nonetheless, they come in at times like this. The next one I've got is it's a poem about a trip I took when I was meeting my partner's family for the first time. It's not actually about meeting them, it's about the plane ride over there, something that kind of made an impact on me while I was on the way over. It's called Touching Down in Istanbul. And below us, the city rises like a potted plant, off-center in a paved garden, all color and colored glass at height. We are touching down in Istanbul on our way to Malaysia, the plane full to creaking for Chinese New Year, all dark, all sleepiness and peace. Beside me, Chris grumbles about her meal. It was dairy, she knew, and she now regrets ordering it, though she does admit it tasted very good. She has given me her aisle seat. I've let her have the window. There, we fit easy, like shoes in a suitcase. And she's been sleeping, or trying to sleep, and I've been watching movies. She's the more experienced traveler, knows just what she's doing and how to curl up. She's told me not to wake her, knew I'd want to. But she's seen the city before, rising from her like mushrooms in a warm and wet morning. I look past her, all amazement at buildings and rows, spaces and the space between spaces. It's beautiful. We've come with the sun just in time and the streets tinting orange. The buildings waking up. If there were flowers, the petals would be opening. We touch down, landing for a moment, like a bee on a hot day. And yeah, I only have a few left, I promise. This next one is, it's a kind of a drinking poem, just about a late night with a couple of friends where we kind of got tired of lockdown and a couple of people came over even though they shouldn't have. It's called World Events and What the Dog's Doing. Sitting about at the kitchen table with my girlfriend and two of her friends, Guy, the photographer, disgustingly talented, and Annie, no artist, but original all the same. Discussing love, discussing music, world events, and what the dog's doing. What's going on in Rio right now, and Argentina, what the best time of year is to visit Berlin. Drinking wine, heavy drinking, and whiskey then, when the wine runs out. Guy mentioned in passing this MFA he plans, if only they'll accept his portfolio. Annie knows the college, says she did a master's there. Outside, rain is plating the pavement, its deepest grey reflection. A mirror in a nighttime bathroom before drunken, sensitive eyes. And the next one I'm going to read is kind of a nature poem. It's called A Map of the World. Upriver, they're cutting down the parkway. On the Liffey, grass clods spin, floating empty like old cans. They clump and break apart in the motion of settled water, thick as torn crests garnish on the brown surface of soup. They shift in shape, they twist and make new patterns, like discolored marks on the band of a false gold wedding ring, like a map of the world stretched lengthwise, an illustration of continental drift. And the next one I'm going to read is kind of a bonus poem. It hasn't appeared in any collection. And it was published by some American college magazine that I don't even remember the name of a few years ago when I was living in Toronto. It's called Coming Off the Night Shift. Sky all grey and the city grey, like two sides of a silvery coin, grubby from use buying coffees. I walk out. Buy a coffee and top up my bus card in a corner shop, somewhere around 7 a.m. My head is cloudy and dawn turns slowly toward morning. Sun-breaking clouds like mushrooms on a wet lawn. I'm coming off the night shift, tired as everyone is tired, dazed, like everybody, dazed. Somewhere my girlfriend makes breakfast. I bet that she's yawning too. When I get home, she'll be at work and I'll be eating something. Behind me, the hospital lies like a pile of pennies. I get the bus with nurses. We don't talk, drink coffee. And the last one I'm going to read today is, it's also from Sad Havoc with Turris. It's the poem that closed out that collection. And it's the poem I'm going to close out with today. It's a poem from when I first moved back to Ireland and kind of saw Dublin with somewhat fresh eyes. It's called The Fear of Empty Spaces. I go to the Liberties. I go down the little roads off Camden Street. I go all along the quays and look at the closed faces of shops and the facades of abandoned pubs, saved from demolition by the civic fear, understandable, of leaving empty spaces. Sometimes there's a new build office block up, or a set of shiny apartments, like the scrubbed deck of a ship in dry dock. Around me, the city falls down so beautifully. So, yeah, that's me, and thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be down here. Thank you.